Hey guys, it's April. We're going to start this podcast off a little bit differently. We have some awesome voice messages from our listeners and followers, and we're going to start sharing them throughout the episode. But today, we're going to start off with a shout out. Thank you so much for supporting what we're doing here at East to West WLS. You are the best part of this community.
Hi, April and Jason. This is Sarah Day. My Instagram handle is at LizzieSarahEveryDay. I just wanted to drop you guys a message thanking you for this awesome resource that you have provided for our community. I know before my surgery, I'm 6 weeks out now. Before my surgery, I was super scared and alone and just kind of felt like I didn't have anybody, and I stumbled across you guys and your podcast. And your Instagram and just all of the support you have provided me, as well as so many other people, has made a huge, huge impact on myself in the past 6 weeks. And I'm sure it will continue to for a long time. So thank you.
Hello and welcome to East to West WLS, the podcast, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April and I'm the West.
And I'm Jason and I'm the East.
Today, we are welcoming a very fabulous member of our community, Miss Colleen. Hi, Colleen. We are so happy that you have joined us today. You have been very open and honest about your shopping struggles as of late. And this month, we are focusing on vices. And we all know that we can transfer sometimes our food addiction or tolerance or dependence from one area of our lives to another. And you have kind of discovered that you are doing that with shopping.
Yes, I have.
Oh, the struggle is real. And I know that you are not the only one on the screen who has been struggling with that. I struggle with it, but surprisingly, Jason does as well. This is not something new for him as well.
Yes. Yeah. It's getting out of hand.
It's getting out of hand. Well, and it's such, what makes this such a struggle is that we have to shop. Right? There are very few things that we can get for free in this world. And as our size and shape changes, you need to welcome new clothes into your home. But even if you're thrifting them, or even if you're looking for very inexpensive ways to kind of replenish your wardrobe, it can still quickly become a very accessible and like on-demand avenue that we can get out of our discomfort with. We can just turn to shopping, right? We go to our phones and boom, one-click shopping, so to speak. So it's not difficult to understand how this can quickly become a vice that kind of overtakes our lives in really negative ways. So we know you've been so open and honest about the struggle on your own Instagram feed. We're just really, really excited to talk to you about it today. So before we kind of dive into the conversation, will you just introduce yourself to our listeners and followers and watchers?
Of course. So my name is Colleen. I am 30. I live in Massachusetts. I had the vertical sleeve gastrectomy in August of 2020. I have lost my highest weight recorded was 242. Technically, I'm down 98 pounds from my highest weight, but from the day I went into surgery, I'm down 73 pounds. So when I went into surgery, as they wheeled me back, I weighed in that day at 217, especially with like the pre-op and stuff. And for work, I am a trainer for our medical record system, and I work for a hospital.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, you have, like I said, you've been such a prominent member of our community. We've enjoyed connecting with you. And Jason and I both really appreciate your honesty around this subject area, because it's not easy to talk about, right? There can be a lot of shame, or how we know if we are going down a bad vice path is kind of that guilt or that shame that comes afterwards. So the fact that you are so open and so willing to shed some light on this subject that maybe people don't want to talk or recognize about means a lot to us. So, all right, friends, are you ready to do this? Should we dive in?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Hey guys, it's April. Retreat Drinks Hot Cacao is my absolute favorite warm beverage. Not only is it decadent and creamy, but it's actually healthy for you. Did you know that cacao has over 40 times the antioxidants of blueberries? 40 times! Antioxidants and for free radicals, which cause cell and tissue damage. And we are on a mission to live our best lives. Retreat Drinks is something that I incorporate almost daily into my life to make sure it's the best. You should definitely check them out. Visit their website at retreatdrinks.com and use the code East to West for 20% off your first order. Happy sipping.
So first things first, this is the teacher part of me coming out. We need to make sure that we are all operating under the same definition of a vice. So I'm just going to quickly look here at my show notes. This basically comes directly from Wendy Rawlings, who is a licensed mental health practitioner here in the state of Washington. She came on one of our episodes recently to talk just about vices. So when we asked her, okay, Wendy, what is a vice? She said, it's something that we turn to when our emotional or physical load becomes greater than our emotional and physical resources, right? So it's something that we turn to when we are just maxed out and we have nothing left in our tank. We will turn towards something that will get us out of this discomfort, right? And I think that the most important thing to remember about a vice or vices is that everyone has one. So it's not like there's something wrong with you if you are turning to something outside of yourself to get out of that pain and discomfort. It's something that everybody does, right? So no shame, no worry. Everybody's got it. If we turn to a vice consistently, bad things will happen, right? Both emotionally, physically, to our wallets, to our relationships, because we're relying on that vice. And we know that a vice is one by our reaction to it afterwards, right? So after we've shopped, if we sit back and go, oh my God, that was the worst decision of my day, of my life. How could I do that, right? Shame, regret, guilt. That's how we know that we are using it as a vice, that we are turning towards something in an unhealthy way. So that's kind of where we're going to start this conversation today. But really, Colleen, we're very excited and interested to know about your shopping in the past and in the present and in the future. So let's just start in the past. Tell us about your shopping habits before surgery.
So before surgery, I liked to shop, but I really didn't like the options that was really available. It was just more of something to get me by. You know, as a Lane Bryant, a Torrid, still Walmart type person, and, you know, very select amount of thing of stores that I was able to go ahead and shop at. Mm-hmm. Sorry, my microphone just fell. So I didn't always love it, but it was something, you know, like you have to wear clothes to work. You can't wear the same thing every single day, mm-hmm. but I, you know, shopping at Lane Bryant and, you know, the price tag of it was just, you know, I did what I needed to get by.
Oh my God. Jason and I talk about this all the time. Jason even used to work at DXL, didn't you? And the clothing options that you found when you were shopping at your larger size sucked and they were expensive. There's like a fat tax.
There is. Yes.
Right. And I mean, you're paying discriminating. So it is, you're paying so much money for clothing that doesn't really take that much more time and material and effort, and it doesn't last. I mean, Jason, you used to talk about how you'd bust out of your banded polos and your Nikes in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, the $75 shorts that I used to buy from DXL that were the golf shorts that are the same material as the shorts that I buy for $16 at Walmart, the $16 Walmart shorts have now lasted twice as long as the $75 Big and Tall Reebok shorts would have lasted me. And the polos are about the same. The polos are the same $16 instead of $75. And they don't unravel. They don't snag. They don't do all the stuff that the softer material Reebok shirts did. And to me, it's hilarious that once you finally get to a size where you can shop in a store that doesn't cater to big and tall people, the quality just somehow just happens to get better. And mm-hmm. this is stuff now that that Destination XL has started carrying Polo and Nautica and stuff. And even that stuff doesn't hold up the way that you know, if you go to Macy's and get it, it's just different. And I don't know what the problem is, because I don't feel like I was any harder on clothes when I was bigger than I am now. If anything else, I did a lot less moving around when I was big, because I didn't, you know, I couldn't move around like I do now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, I think your shoe example really kind of demonstrates it. We don't understand the impact of our size and our shape on the physical things that we're wearing until we're not making that impact anymore. Right. So we could buy the same pair of Nikes, but I'm blowing them out in, you know, a week because I weigh 320 pounds instead of weighing 205 pounds and being a little bit lighter on them, right? So that I think there's a lot of factors that goes into how long things last, I think, when we are a different size and a shape.
Yes.
You know, and I think what's also maybe not frustrating, but you know, no matter what size you are, you want to feel good in how you're clothed.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort to seek out products and clothing that we love and that, right, that feel good on us. And if that's the only area of our life that we're getting a little bit of joy and excitement or fulfillment from, a lot of us find that we have this problem, this shopping problem, even before surgery. So is this something that you noticed, Colleen, or shopping was just not, it wasn't a problem. It was just something you did kind of like, no shame, no guilt. You did it rarely.
I mean, I did it often, but it wasn't like I was enjoying myself. I didn't have like, it wasn't a thrill for me to go shopping. It was more of like a, kind of like a chore. Like I had to do it because I needed clothes. I'd never felt good in what I like looked like, you know. I tried finding like the longer shirts to cover everything and not wear white and not wear like solid stripes and, you know, stripes and things. So it wasn't something, it's not that I didn't like shopping. I just didn't have an enjoyment out of it, you know, like going shopping with my friends and stuff and them being smaller sizes than me, you know, kind of felt me more of an envious situation. So it wasn't that I didn't like it. It was just the fact of, it just felt like a chore. It's like something I had to do because I had to go ahead and get clothes for work and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Jason, did you kind of experience the same thing too? It wasn't a joy for you. It was just something that you had to do.
No, for me, I've always been a clothes hound. Like it doesn't matter how big, how small, whatever it is I am. Sarah's biggest probably thorn in her side for me was right before I had surgery, I think I spent about $800 at DXL on clothes. And within 3 months, I couldn't wear a single stitch of none of it. Because I dropped weight so fast with the pre-op and all that, it just melted off. And now I have all those clothes sitting there and she's like, what are you going to do with that? And I'm like, I guess I'll donate. And she's like, the hell you will. You're going to donate $900 worth of clothes that you barely wore. She's like, eh-eh. And I'm like, well, I don't want to sell them because it's annoying to have to deal with all that. So, I mean, you get yourself stuck in a position where it's not like there's a place for guys where I could just go take my stuff back unless I take it to Goodwill and just donate it. Like there's not really any places for guys to sell their clothes back. And especially for big and tall guys to sell their clothes back and really get even a quarter of what you paid for them. So yeah, it's a big struggle, but it didn't matter as big as I was buying 5XL t-shirts and size 58 shorts. I was in there, boy, I'd find stuff that I loved and it didn't matter. I just kind of was one of those people that, yeah, I mean, it may look like a bed sheet with a neck hole in it, but I'm going to wear the shit out of it. I'm going to make it look good. I mean, that's exactly how I always have looked at it. And now when I look back at it, realizing that it was ridiculous for me to think that I could, you know, that I was killing it in any outfit at 468 pounds, it's hilarious to me. But yeah.
Well, I think you probably were killing it. It's just that our view of ourselves has changed, right? I mean, you bought those clothes because you felt that you looked good in them and you did look good in them, but you were not healthy with how you weren't happy with how you looked, right? So that's just, that changes everything. And again, I think that's why shopping becomes such a huge issue for people after surgery, because now finally, okay, I look the way that I want to look and I'm losing weight and my self-image is improving and oh man, this is really great. Now I want to just look awesome. And that can kind of, right, go take us to a bad spot. So Colleen, tell us about your shopping present. So what has happened between now and surgery where you're starting to realize that shopping is an issue?
So it didn't really start until about 2 months post-op. That's when I really was like, okay, I really have to start buying some clothes. And, you know, I just started Walmart and then Old Navy. And I was also getting into the fitness aspect. So I needed workout clothes because I didn't really have much workout gear because I never really worked out before surgery. So started then, and then just the thrill of shopping and coming home to packages and having that like little present for me and just the continuing effect of having the packages. And then I started doing try-ons and everyone loved my try-ons on Instagram because they were like, oh, what'd you get today? And it's like, I used to say like, nobody asked, but I got a new order. So like, look at me.
Oh my God.
So about 2 months, that's when I really started shopping. And then it kind of, you know, I was getting into the stores. A lot of the stores, because of COVID, were closed. So I really wasn't sure what size I was. So I was guessing on a lot of things and, you know, buying different sizes. And I used to buy like different size jeans to see if like maybe they'll try and fit, or like, you know, like, you know, like when you do like the kicks in the jean, you're like, you kick, yeah, you, yeah. kick, you pick the loop, you get the loops, and it's like, oh, I got them over, you know, it's like accomplishment. So I just love that feeling. I was like, they fit, like I can't breathe, I can't sit right now, but look, they fit. So then there was like, you know, Christmas, and, you know, I'm more of a, like, I love shopping for other people, but I also like, I feel like I always buy a lot more things for myself around Christmas because the deals are so good. So, you know, I had a lot of deals. There was, and I tried seeing, I didn't really look at the price tag as much as I should have. And I was buying, you know, X amount of work pants when I really didn't need, you know, 5 work pants. And I think that was ultimately my biggest mistake, was I bought too much of the same size, not realizing, hey, you're going to get smaller eventually. So you don't need 5 pairs of the same size clothes. Like, you know, you should have definitely like branched out and got different sizes. Mm-hmm. Shirts, I feel like, are a little bit more universal, and, you know, you can kind of like tie knots and stuff in like bigger ones. And then, it's just certain, sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, I was just going to say, it's, you know, it, again, it's not hard to understand how this goes from like, oh, I need a new top, or I need new bottoms, to, oh my God, now I fit into a size 12 or a size 8. And yeah. You just get so excited that all of a sudden, right? Because we all know, like, the weight loss is going to slow and eventually stop, because you are going to get to that low weight.
Yeah.
But then you're probably going to be going, oh my God, but I still really want that high. I still really want that kick of like, oh, something is being accomplished. So if yeah. you're going down a size, even if your weight is not, right? Or if your weight has slowed, but you're like, oh my God, I'm going from a 3X to an XL. Oh my God. Well, yeah, no wonder that you want to continue those good feelings by buying mm-hmm. these clothes. And like what you said, it's a rush when you buy them, and then you have to anticipate them coming to your house, because it's not like we're shopping in stores. Exactly. So then when it comes to your house, you're getting that hit all over again, and mm-hmm. you try it on and it looks great. And they're like, oh my God, I'm going to go buy another one. Or I'm going to go try this now because this looks so good. So it's just this vicious cycle of like always seeking that next high or that next validation of the work that you've been doing.
Yes.
Well, and it's also like what she's talking about, you know, when Colleen mentioned that she was going out and shopping with her friends, and they could always buy, you know, stuff that she couldn't buy because they were smaller sizes than she was. Once you get to a point where you can start dressing like everybody else, that's a whole nother aspect that gets brought into it, because you're like, yeah, well, I mean, I bought these things for work, but now I can buy this stuff for if I want to go out on the weekends, or if I want to go do this. And so yeah. it's just a whole different avenue that you take, which gets you wrapped up just that much more in the buying situation.
Yes.
Yep.
And I think you sparked something in me, April, because it's kind of like the scale. You know, the scale keeps going down, you're losing the weight and stuff, but I feel like it's also the high of you're seeing a smaller size. So, you know, yes. like I was in the double digits, and now I'm in the single digits, and it's like, you know, I haven't seen a single digit in a long, long time. So it's like, it's a high for me. You know, it's like, you have, you know, someone has a goal weight of 150, you're finally there. And it's like, it's a number, you know, it's like numbers kind of sort of control us, or in, you know, in our case, letters, you know, like a small versus mm-hmm. a extra, extra large. So mm-hmm. I think it's like the thrill of going from this is the size I was to this is, you know, like what size am I now? It's just like, I never imagined being the size I am now versus a year ago. It baffles me. And I think it's, I get the high and I get the rush from it is a smaller size than what I'm used to.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think everybody in this community can relate to that, right? Even if you don't go instantly to shopping, it is a rush to see a smaller size, a smaller number, right? I mean, that is just, you kind of live for that, because for so long it was going the opposite way, right? Or you were at such a high number for so long. So when all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, my bariatric tool is working. Mm-hmm. You want to celebrate that, and you want to keep those wins coming.
Yeah. Well, and I know that when I, you know, for me, when I was going through stalls, you know, it's like, oh, well, measure yourself or try on some clothes or do, you know, and so I would go in the closet and be, you know, puzzling, because I had some clothes in my closet that were from way back before when I, you know, before I gained all the weight that I gained to get to my highest weight. So I had what I called window clothes. Like I had a small window of time where I was going to fit some of this stuff on my way down. And so, you know, I put it in different sections of the closet because it would be, oh, this is for this time and this is this. So, you know, some of those shirts I would grab when I was stalled and be like, oh, let me try this on. So I'd throw the shirt on. Well, I'd missed the window completely. Like it was already too big, or it was always this or that. So those things are also, you know, you get the fulfillment out of that because people tell you to do that kind of stuff when you're stalled, and stalls can be so mentally taxing. You're looking for anything to get you through the day, knowing that the scale didn't move and you're, you know, for the third week in a row or, you know, whatever the time frame may be, and you're just looking for anything to dig you out of that. So once you start seeing that, that's another way for you to get triggered to be like, oh, hell, you know, if I'm doing this and this is good, though, well, you know, why don't I buy another pair? Maybe I get a smaller pair of pants now, you know, you do those kinds of things. And so there's always going to be something along your journey that could possibly trigger you into doing these types of things. You just have to be aware that it's possible so that you kind of know ahead of time when you start seeing some of the signs, you can be like, oh, I remember now, we talked about this. I don't need that ninth pair of pants. It's just a different shade than the other, you know, other eight that I bought.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Perfect segue, my friend. So like, how do we know that we're slipping into a vice, or how do we know that we are relying on a vice? So Wendy says there's kind of four things that we can look for. Do we wrestle with our decision in the moment? Right. Is it just like, should I not? Are we doing it even when we don't want to? Is it negatively affecting other areas of our life? And do we regret it afterwards, right? Is it like guilt, shame? And the other thing too, is that, are we doing it automatically? Are we just doing it, not even realizing it? And then afterwards we're like, oh my God, I can't believe I fill in the blank, right? So yeah. those are kind of some of our warning signs. So those are our like, ding, ding, red flag. You could be using this as advice. So did you have any of those things kick in for you, Colleen, when you were kind of realizing that you had a shopping vice?
Yes. So I kind of, when I did track my food, you know, like if I had the rest of my calories during the day and, you know, I was just watching TV at night, possibly, I would be on my phone scrolling through and like mindlessly shop. I would always go and just be like, oh, that looks really cute. And then like, you know, you have the influencers and you have TikTok that's like, oh my God, look at like how, I was like, that looks so good on you. I was like, that might probably would look good on me. Her body type's the same, like mine sort of, like now it is.
I can have you TikTok.
Yes.
Freaking TikTok. God.
So it's not that, it's like I was doing it mindlessly. And it was, you know, I think it's just more like I didn't even realize I was doing it. You know, my husband would be like, why are you on your phone? And I'm like, I don't know. He's just like, what am I doing on my phone half the time? I don't even know. It's either, you know, hyping people up or shopping, basically, or watching TikTok of things I don't need. And thinking about, you know, with shopping, it was just giving me a comfort. It was giving me like a void that I didn't have, or it was giving me something that I didn't have. And, you know, it became such a joy for me after, because it was just so nice to see things fitting good on me. And I look good. And I feel like before, you know, a lot of the clothes, when you're bigger, you just look like a sack, like a potato sack, you know, it's like, where's the shape? You know, like I didn't have a shape. My shape was round. And now it's like, I have like a figure and I can go ahead and wear certain things and that accentuate my, my features and stuff. So.
Yep. Well, you know, and as we learned from Wendy again, right, we turn to a vice when we're feeling blasted, right? BLASTED. And those stand for certain things, like when we're bored, when we're uncertain, when we're annoyed or angry, right? There's so many emotions or so many states of being that can kick us in over to vices. So just the fact that you were like, I was bored, like I needed some validation. And I went on my phone and TikTok told me to buy it. So I bought it, right? Yeah. And you just kind of do that, like, you know, seamlessly.
Yeah.
So was there a definitive moment when you really, when you, it clicked for you, oh my God, this is a problem?
Yes. So I would, I only have so much money to budget for clothes, and I was leaning towards like, you know, I have till the 15th to pay my mortgage. So, you know, I could buy something else right now, you know, and that would go ahead and, you know, my mortgage would definitely get paid by this date. Thankfully I get paid weekly, because I don't know what I would do with two weeks versus a 1 week, but
try a once a month as a teacher. That's real fun.
God bless you for that. Don't even ask me how to budget that. That's wow. That's, you're strong for that. So it was coming to the point of I used Afterpay and Sezzle. Those helped a lot with my shopping because I was able to make payments on clothes. But I mean, realistically, should I have done that? No, but it did let me get the clothes I wanted sooner, even if I didn't have the money. But my aha moment was when I had to ask my mom for help for a bill. And I just felt low and I felt ashamed because I don't like asking for money. I feel like, you know, it was like a dog with the, you know, the tail in between the two legs. And I just felt like I was a piece of shit. You know, it's like, why can't I, you know, I have a good job. Why can't I afford it on my own? You know, because I was just having, you know, fun, like swiping mindlessly without physically swiping. You know, I know my credit card number by heart, and that's a problem. Like, I don't have to physically go up and get it. So that was the aha moment for me that I can't do this anymore.
Hey, it's April with East to West WLS. I don't know about you, but after I dropped a significant amount of weight, my body just didn't feel like my own, and I needed help feeling like it was my own again. So I started receiving chiropractic care. If you live in the Tacoma area, I cannot recommend Grit City Chiro more. Dr. McKenzie is passionate about helping you feel, function, and live better. Check out her Instagram at Grit City Chiro or her website, gritcitychiropractic.com, for more info and to book your first consultation. And if you mention East to West, you'll get a discount on your first visit. I feel amazing after seeing her, and I think you will too.
Wow. Well, and I would like to point out though, I would assume that if you would have had that aha moment before surgery, your response might have been to continue to do it because you would have kicked into that shame cycle. But now that you're after surgery, right, your response was, oh my God, something is wrong.
Yeah.
And a pause, right? You literally are able to step back and go, what is happening? Why am I doing this? What is the cause? You had these real conversations with yourself instead of trying to find a different way to assuage your feelings of feeling like a piece of shit. I mean,
yeah,
that's huge. So when Jason and I were talking about this, I think it was actually with you, but maybe when we were prepping for VBM or for somebody, but I remember Jason, you said that, you know, shopping is kind of like step one on the vice train because it's a finite resource and eventually you will run out of that resource and that can kick you into an even worse vice afterwards. So explain that to us.
Yeah, it's just kind of the thing that, you know, like kind of like Colleen said, your budget's only what your budget is. Eventually you're going to run out and you can shop till your little heart's content until you swipe and they just tell you no. You can run out of Zezzle. You can run out of Afterpay. You can run out of all those things. And, you know, once you do and you're maxed to the hilt, you know, then you got to start looking for other ways because the shame's not going anywhere. The shame's only going to get worse because now the wheels have come off the wagon and you have to assess the situation that you have now run yourself into a financial sinkhole. And now you got to try to dig your way out. Well, a lot of people don't want to deal with having to dig their way out. So the next closest thing to that's going to be, well, I don't want to think about it. So let me just go ahead and drink real quick. And then I will forget all about it. And then after that, you drink. And then you get, I mean, it's a very slippery slope that you can slide down when it starts with, you know, something so simple as, oh, let me just grab a shirt. And yeah, next thing you know, that you could be really, really sliding down the hill real fast.
Right. It's this starting with a finite resource and moving it to an infinite resource because there's always food, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Food is just a part of our lives, but there's also alcohol, drugs, right? There's all these other things that while maybe not quite as infinite, it's like, oh, that's really bad. If you start with this finite resource and you realize, oh my God, I have a problem, but now I'm so ashamed and you don't deal with that issue, you could find yourself sliding into one of these other vices that will just kick you back to your old self, to your old habits, to your old ways of doing things. And we have come too far. We have committed too much of our lives to just going back to being the people who we were. And we're not saying this is easy. That's literally why we have this podcast. None of this is easy. None of this is easy, right? We have to have the tools to overcome these vices. We have to have the tools to recognize, oh, okay, this actually isn't helping me. No shame, no blame, just us realizing, oh, okay, I get it now. I see it now.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna make a different choice. So let's transition to talk about your shopping future, right?
Yeah.
So you realized, okay, this is a problem. This is not good. This is not who I am. This is not who I want to be. I want to live in my house. I want to pay, right? Like, okay, yeah. I want to do things differently. What did you do to change your shopping habits?
So about at my 7 months, so I'm almost 10 months. That's crazy to say, but about 7 months, that's kind of when the aha happened. And I really sat down and budget and had to really budget and kind of re-look over my bills. You know, I had to kind of see how much am I actually even spending on food now? Cause I kind of didn't do an overall budget after surgery, like I should have, you know, not realizing how much am I spending money on protein and, you know, those sort of things. Oh, so yeah. I had to really kind of decipher how much money am I spending on clothes, how much money am I spending on shoes? Cause I haven't even bought that like shoes. Like I bought clothes, but I haven't bought shoes and my feet have shrunk. So I'm just getting by with Walmart shoes that fart at the moment. Cause when I walk and it's perfectly fine, but everyone just knows when I walk now, oh, money's coming. It is what it is. That's where I haven't invested money. So anyways, so I kind of did an overall, like I need to have, you know, some fun money. I need to have some clothes money, and I still have Afterpay and I still have Sezzle, but I'm smarter about it. I'm not having that amount go over a certain number because that's triggering for me of, okay, why is it this high? And what are you going to do about it? You know, like I want to have the comfort of knowing that, you know, I can pay that off next paycheck. I could pay that off. Like, I don't want it to be like kind of thinking of like as a credit card sort of, like, I don't want to not have the money to pay for it. So just basically it was eye opening to me to kind of really look at how much I was spending on clothes and how much going forward, what I can spend, because I am slowly losing. I feel like I'm almost at like my final size. I mean, who knows when, if you're ever at your final size. But I feel like since I'm not buying as much in so much quantity now, I feel like it's lessened a lot because I've slowed down a lot as well.
Yeah. Well, and the other really, the thing that I want to applaud you on as well is that I think a lot of people fear reality, right? They understand like, oh my God, I've got myself into a hole, but I just can't look. It's going to kill me. It's going to, right? Like, oh, I had the shame. But what you have demonstrated to us is that you can look at reality and you can survive that.
Yes.
Right? Like, I know that that's hard. I think we've all been in a position in our lives where we really didn't want to look at the damage that we've done. And all that did was kick the can down the road and made our situations much worse in the long run. Probably our weight is the number one thing that we can all look to for that.
Yeah.
So the fact that you said, okay, I have a problem, and you were willing to do the hard thing, which is look at reality and say, okay, here's my situation. You made a game plan to get out of it, and you acknowledge that things have to change. And now it sounds like you interact with your budget all the time because you're still shopping, right? Like, we all need clothes. Mm-hmm. We're not saying that, but when it comes to making a decision about what you're going to buy, you are interacting with your budget and you're letting your budget dictate what you end up purchasing.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Well, so, and the thing about it is, you know, when you talk about that these are hard conversations to have. And Colleen, I would imagine that, you know, what you've been through as far as, you know, having the conversation with yourself about the budget and all that stems from you having the conversation with yourself to go ahead and have weight loss surgery in the first place, because that's the original hardest conversation we have to have with ourselves is the fact that we need to do something about our weight. And that helps build the tool, you know, put the tools in the toolbox for you to handle it later on. So there's really not, you know, we talk about the shame cycle and how, you know, the guilt that comes with coming to the realization that you've allowed yourself to slip into a vice, but there really shouldn't be shame in that. What we should be doing is celebrating the fact that we were able to notice that we've done it and that we've planned a way to get ourselves out of it. So that's really the bigger picture here versus just being so ashamed and, you know, letting the shame cycle take over and, you know, rule the rest of what's going on, because that's never going to, you don't make a plan, set a goal and get out of the situation by being ashamed or, you know, just down talking to yourself and just kind of shitting on yourself for being in the position you're in.
Right.
Well, and I would like to point out too, like for most of our lives, being acknowledging something that we have done right, and I don't even know if being proud is the right word, but just like taking a hot minute to go, oh, I think I made the right decision there, is something we are absolutely not familiar with.
No.
Right? Because for 10, 5, 10, 15 decades, we have only literally shat on ourselves about the decisions that we've made, right? We've only said like, you are an idiot. How could you be so stupid? We have said some horrible, horrible things to ourselves.
Yeah.
So to all of a sudden get our rational brains back, for us to have this very difficult conversation with ourselves after we just had a difficult conversation about our bariatric surgery, right? And for us to just go, okay, you know what? That was not a good decision. Moving forward, I'm going to do this. That's really hard for us to recognize. It's hard for us to go, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. You can do better and you will do better. And right. And like, that's so hard. That's so hard for us. So we have to stop and give ourselves some credit for the things that we are doing right. And just pausing for a hot minute to go, oh my God, this is a problem. That's doing the right thing.
Yeah,
it is. It absolutely is.
It's the same thing. Celebrate. We celebrate the small wins in every avenue, no matter where they come from, no matter where they're going. Small win is a small win.
So, Colleen, what do you do in those moments of panic, or what do you do in those moments where you're like, oh my God, I just need to get out of this discomfort, and I just want to buy shoes that don't fart? What do you do? Because we're all going to have those moments, right? Where it's like, oh my God. So,
what do I do? I just kind of look and see, and what I like, you know, is it need or want? Like, do I need shoes? I do need shoes. Do I want them? Yes, but I really need them. So I actually did the other day buy shoes because I needed them, because I was justifying, okay, I work with providers all the time. Doctors are not going to want to be hearing me coming down the hall like, oh, you have, oh, like, excuse you. Like, oh no, sorry, those are my shoes. Like, so I did end up buying shoes the other day. Now I did use Afterpay, but I know that I put money down and I'm going to go ahead and next paycheck pay it off. And that's, again, that's kind of the mentality I've been going. As long as I can pay it off, I'm justifying it, but I still need money to get me by this week. So, you know, next week it will be paid off. And that mentality of knowing I can do that does help. But I'm not like going out and buying 10 pairs of shoes. I bought myself one pair of shoes. I needed those one pair of shoes. Like every day, black flat, that's what I needed.
Hey guys, it's April. I don't know if you know this, but Gather Juice Company was our first podcast sponsor. And for good reason, they make some bomb ass juices. My absolute favorite is the Sunrise and the Pineapple Express. Night Vision and Goldilocks come in a real close third and fourth. I also very much enjoy their smoothies. Pina Colada, top of my list. If you live locally in the Tacoma area, swing by their 6th Avenue location and try it for yourself. You're going to be hooked. Big shout out to Gather Juice. Thank you for your sponsorship.
You said so many really great things in that sentence, right? So the other thing that you're doing now is you're asking yourself, is this a need or a want? And you are right. There are circumstances where it can be both. It is a need and a want. And I think in the past, we have used justification for things that we wanted as a need. And again, I know I keep saying this, but something happened to me after bariatric surgery. That rational part of my brain was able to come to the front instead of being buried under God knows what was under there. But I can finally say to myself, okay, is this a need or a want? Well, it is for sure a need. It is for sure a want, but is it really a need? And for you to be able to use your rational brain and go, well, no, this is a need because it's for work. I work with providers and I need to be professional and my shoes make noise, right? Like there are legitimate reasons for that. Because sometimes when people say, when I hear the word, oh, I can justify it, or somebody says, well, I justified it. It's like, oh God, that used to be a really slippery slope for me. Yeah. But when you come at it as no, I need them for work because X, Y, Z, providers, professionalism, that's not something that you can really justify
you know, use an, as an excuse. That is a legitimate need. And the other thing that you did is you said, I bought one pair. I didn't buy 10 pairs in all different colors. I did my research. I made the decision that was best for work, you know, for all these reasons. I bought one pay. I consulted my budget. I did use Afterpay, but here's why. I have my payoff plan here and I'm good to go. And I think the biggest indicator that we can use to help say, okay, was this a vice or was this a purchase that you needed? Did you feel guilty after that purchase?
No. For once, it took me a while to actually, I was shocked. I was shocked I did not feel guilty about it because it was, again, it was that need in me that I needed it.
Wow.
Well, but the difference with that is too, though, is this was a much different experience for you because you had not only the right mindset going into it, but you had a plan in place. You also had a backup plan in place. Because not only were you using Afterpay, but you also knew that you had the thing set up to be able to pay it off the next pay period. So, I mean, you had multiple fail safes involved in this and a way different mindset going into it than you did way before when you would have bought, you know, two or three different pair. And those are the differences. That's how people can see that you can make these positive changes and it will actually work for you. And not only will you be more comfortable doing these things that you still need to do, but you can do it without overdoing.
Yes.
Oh, girl, brush those shoulders off. Oh, well, I would imagine, I mean, how did it feel knowing what it's been like these past couple months with your struggle? How does it feel?
It feels good. I mean, it feels like I don't want to say I'm over the addiction. I feel like I should say I'm not over the vice. You know, I still get the thrill. I still have those impulse moments, but I'm trying to be a little bit better and I'm trying to be more mindful when it comes to, you know, mindless shopping, you know, when I'm bored and of those certain scenarios. But I think it's just more of, I feel like my entire paycheck's not going to clothes and it's not going to, in this sense, shoes. Like it's not,
yeah.
Like clothes is not taking over my entire paycheck like it kind of was before.
Mm-hmm. You know, and at least in my personal life, vice is just a human experience. It's something everybody has. And if I never turned to my vice, I don't know what my life would look like, right? Because some of my vices I really enjoy. I enjoy reading. I enjoy a glass of wine every now and then, right? Like vices are not always bad things. So if I'm not turning to my vice every time, if I'm turning to my vice once in a while, I gotta give myself some grace there, right? But it's when I turn to my vice consistently and it negatively impacts my life, that's when that's a problem. So really what I'm hearing from you is like, you know, I still enjoy shopping. It's a balance, right? I'm not going ham. I'm not just like going crazy. I'm not doing it mindlessly. There's no guilt involved. I'm making very smart decisions. And I think that is the difference. The more and more we interact with people in this community, the more I really come to understand that people are judged so heavily on their size, not because of their size, but because it comes with this connotation that you're not intelligent, right? That you're dumb. But what people don't understand is it is not that at all. People who struggle with weight, people who struggle with anything, period, are intelligent human beings. It's just that there is something in the way of that rational part of their brain that's preventing them to use all of it that's already up there. Yeah. And when that weight is released or when that piece falls into place, you get to use your intelligence again. And it's just really powerful to see how you have so gracefully discovered that piece of your brain again, right? It's always been there. It's just, it takes some while to take some exercising it. And you've really done that well. Some advice from Wendy about eliminating vices. Basically everything that you've done, Colleen, is exactly what Wendy would have recommended, right? Be honest, be open, face your reality, get a moment of mindfulness, use your smarts, ask yourself, is this a need or a want? She just says, right, to develop these new habits and skills, it's just a daily practice, right? It's rejuvenate, reevaluate, and retrain just how our mind works. She says, where our mind goes, the body will follow. So if your mind is feeling good about your decisions, right, we're not going to be so stressed. We can focus more on what we need to do for our overall health. And she just says, notice what you do in the moment. And if you regret it afterwards, make a list of things that you can do instead of what you did that time next time. Right. That's how we need to have a bank. We can't replace a vice if we don't have something right there next to us. Right. So yeah. If we know that we're going to go towards shopping, but we don't want to, what's something else that we could do to help us get us out of that discomfort? Right. What's a healthier option for us? And if we've already thought about it, if we have that list front and center, we can go to it in our moment of need. It's just your story is really amazing. It's very inspiring. And I think everybody can relate to it because we've all been there. We've all had to shop when we get smaller. Yeah. It's exciting, but we don't want to feel guilt or shame, and we don't want it to negatively impact our lives. So the fact that you are so honest and excited to share your story, we are just so, so thankful for. So Colleen, we like to give our guests kind of the floor at the end of the podcast episode. If somebody is struggling with shopping or just with vices in general, what advice would you give them? Are there words of encouragement, or is there anything that you felt you wanted to say that you didn't have the opportunity to do so earlier?
So when I was pre-op, I followed a lot of people on Instagram and I saw them shopping as well. And a lot of the suggestions was to kind of make yourself a budget ahead of time for clothes. And I never did because I was like, oh, I won't have that problem. When in reality, I did have that problem. So if you can, you know, even $10 a week or $20, even $5, you know, what you'd spend on coffee, try and see if you can budget or save what you can. If not, you know, it's... know that clothes are a necessity. You are going to have to buy them. Don't buy the same size of pants because, you know, only so many people on Poshmark will want to go ahead and buy those pair of pants from you. So, you know, this journey is a struggle. Don't make shopping a struggle. Make it enjoyable, but don't go crazy when you finally see those sizes go down, because it's exciting. It's such a rush. But don't go be spending so much money on one size, because you will get smaller. It's going to be exciting when you see those numbers go down. Just know that's not your end.
Girl, chef's kiss to that advice. Oh my goodness. My friend, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We so very much appreciate it. This was just awesome.
Yeah. I had fun.
Oh yeah. We always have fun, right? It's a conversation between friends, which is, I think, what makes this podcast just so accessible and inviting to so many members of our community. But it comes down to humor, humility, and honesty. And I think we had all three of those things wrapped up into this conversation today. If you guys would love to follow Colleen on her journey, I highly recommend that you do. Head over to Instagram. She is at Discovering Colleen, and she's always hitting us with truth bombs and just wonderful views into her life. So give her a follow there. Wendy also had some suggested resources, just some books that we can look into. They will be in the show notes of this episode. Of course, you can always email us or direct message us on Instagram, and we're happy to send you that list. Oh my gosh, my friend. Did we do it, Jason?
I think so.
You want to take us out, my friend?
I do. If you guys love seeing what you get from us and would love to continue to support us, please like, follow, share, subscribe. You can please rate us on YouTube, because we need that. We need any of the reviews that you want to give. We're more than happy to have them, because it just helps us spread the word to get the podcast out to more people that need it. Just like you, just like us. So we appreciate everybody that's liked, followed, shared, subscribed already. The support we're getting from the community is amazing. We cannot thank you enough, because we can't do what we do every week without you guys helping to support us and put us where we are. So please do all of those things.
Every day now I get a notification that we have a new Patreon member of our community, and it floors Jason and I. But if you would like to support East to West in a different way, you can become a patron of our amazing little podcast, and you are literally keeping the lights on. So for $5 a month, you're helping us pay for Zoom, where we host our virtual bariatric meetups. You're helping us pay for the website. You're helping us pay for all of the things that it takes to actually keep the podcast up and running. And to thank you, we invite you to exclusive AMA events or
meetups with other guests. Sometimes you get early episodes of podcasts. You'll be invited to like help us, you know, try out new things in our community. So we like to thank our patrons by offering little gifts along the way. So you can visit our Patreon page. Just go to patreon.com/east2westwls and you can see what it's all about there. Oh my gosh. Okay. I think all the business is done. Did I miss anything, Jason?
I don't think so. I think we got it up.
All right. Take us out, my friend.
I do. Just remember, you've got this, we've got you, and we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.